Hi there.
I'm Eric Word Weaver Shervin, Gothi of the Ridgar Folk here in East Texas, and I'd like to welcome you to The Raven's Call. This is a show where I ramble on about different heathen-related subjects, just kind of whatever strikes my fancy, sets my mind on fire at the time. Big UPG warning at the beginning of this episode, like always. These are just the opinions of one Gothi here in the East Texas area. My take on the world, and these conversations are meant to be conversation starters. Something to stoke the mind fire a little bit, to get you maybe thinking outside the box, or maybe exploring some things that you might not have thought about. You may not agree with everything that I say, and that's perfectly fine. The idea is to get you thinking. If you come away from my video having a better understanding of your own standpoint, even if it differs from mine, then I consider that a win, because I'm all about tribal identity, hearth identity, the sovereignty of the individuals, and the individual tribes, the individual hearths, kindreds, whatever it is you go by. And anything I can do to encourage that is what I'm after. So, without any further ado, a little bit further ado, all my contact information is down below. Please jump in there, comment on the videos, join in the Facebook group, look out, and there's all kinds of links on there as far as like my social media goes. I suck at social media. I will get back to you as I can. Things will definitely get better when I'm no longer working like 17-hour days on the regular. Once I can get to a point where I'm working a normal schedule again, I will have more free time to be able to do things like fan mail and whatnot. But please, do write in, especially emails with like show requests and stuff. I love those. I build a lot of my shows off of those, and I intend to do some more of those in the near future. So please keep them coming. I love that. And it's a good way to kind of, be a part of the show, as it were. So, and then let me see. Beyond that, things are status quo. We've got Yule coming up here pretty fast. So hopefully we'll be able to put together something a little Yule oriented for the next video. My tribe celebrates Yule from we do our Mother's Night on the 19th, and then we roll first day of Yule on the 20th through the end of the year. I realize this isn't what a lot of the hardcore recons or even those that are using the lunar calendar. I think this year the lunar calendar runs Yule into January. Just cool. Just not how my tribe does it. We have our way, and our way works for us, and this is when we celebrate it. So, make of that what you will. Anyway, that'll be right smack dab in the middle of that for me, so hopefully I'll have the energy at least to put together a decent video for you guys. That's my goal anyway. We'll see how it goes. So, unless something else comes up in between, but I usually try to do a Yule special, as it were, during and around that time. So, you find the information on my book down below as well. I noticed a couple of people picked it up here recently. Please, guys, write reviews on Amazon. I know I'm one of the worst about going back and writing reviews, but the reviews really help, especially when you're, a self or individual or independent publishing, self-published book. The reviews really help, especially for other heathens that are leery about buying in on something that they haven't read, and they want to know what other heathens think about it, and that's our target market for that book. Now, I'm not selling it to try and make money. I'm selling it to just try and get it out there to people because people enjoy it and like it. So if you enjoyed it, if you liked it, please leave a review so other people know when they look at it what to expect and what you got out of it. And then I love the feedback, so thank you. Thank you all of you that have written reviews. I think there's because there's the ebook and the physical copy. One's got 21 reviews and one's got 13. Not all of those are written reviews. Some of those are just like star reviews, but still, thank you. All of you. I really, really appreciate that. That's awesome. Without any further ado, we're going to go ahead and jump into today's subject. Now, today I want to talk about something that is kind of on my mind. And this has come up from a number of things going on lately. There's a lot of talk about, religious exemptions over the years with regards to things like the COVID vaccine, for one, in some areas. And then I've had people ask me other things before about religious exemptions or heathenry stance on this, heathenry stance on that. And I'm like, my standpoint has always been, guys, there's not a heathenry's stance on this. There is the, you can take your tribal stance on it, but that doesn't necessarily translate to a heathenry stance, because heathenry is not organized that way. We don't have the doctrines, the mandates, the dogmas that a lot of like the big book religions do. And I catch some flack for it sometimes because, you know, it is what it is. But I also have learned a lot, and my understanding of things has deepened over the years too. So I have a more well-rounded approach to some of the things. I'm thinking back to my beard video that pissed so many people off. I get it. But still. Anyway, so the subject here today is the subject of oaths, sacred oaths specifically. Now, I've talked before about oaths as far as joining an oath circle, like within a tribe or within a kindred kind of thing, where you are entering into an oath web, and the reciprocal nature of oaths. But I haven't really sat down and talked about sacred oaths. And sacred oaths were a thing. Sacred oaths are a thing. We continue to do them. We continue to make them. And, you know, I got on to, because, you know, one of the things talking about some of the, in building my responses for people, in looking at things like staunchly held religious beliefs, well, I'll get to thinking, well, what is one of the most staunchly held religious beliefs that heathenry would have? And one of the most staunchly held, you know, cornerstone pieces is that of the oath. You know, the oath is something that the oath breaker was used as one of the highest forms of insult at one point in time. And honestly, I think it should be again, because of the way that we value oaths, or at least the way that most tribes value oaths and valued oaths back in the day. There's a lot of evidence that leans heavily towards the oath being something that was extremely, extremely important. I'm trying to choose the word specifically, because you can't say that the oath is sacred unless the oath is with the sacred. And that's where it comes with me today, is, you know, with the oath being one of the cornerstones of heathen belief, and it ties into our weird, into our orlog, it ties into our gefrein, it ties into a lot of things. And I think, well, okay, what would a sacred oath entail? And then, you know, go down the rabbit hole with all of that. And of course, when you're looking at a sacred oath is an oath that is sworn with the sacred, with the gods and goddesses. Now, people do this frequently and have for ages. They'll swear an oath to their god or goddess and operate from that standpoint. A lot of people do this when they take a patron god or goddess. I'm not one of those that ascribes to patrons, per se. I do call myself something of an Odinsman, simply because I identify heavily with the Allfather, and he is the one that I feel most drawn to. But I wouldn't necessarily call him my patron, because it's not that kind of a relationship. But, you know, a lot of people do, you know, take something akin to a hold oath when they dedicate their services to a god or the gods in general. And there's a lot of honor that's gained through that if you do swear an oath with the gods, with a god in particular, goddess, and uphold that and maintain it. There's also a tremendous amount of fallout if it falls through. I think they're great. I think they're fantastic when they're appropriate. Absolutely. And I think that, on an interesting standpoint, codifying deeply held beliefs by swearing them to your deity, that you will uphold them and stand up for them, that falls into a different category all of a sudden when you swear it to the gods and goddesses, because that falls into a sacred oath. And religious belief, of course, being that it's of and tied to our interaction with the gods, the oath then becomes a religious thing. It is an act of religion. It's an interaction with the gods and the goddesses, with the sacred. And therefore, you know, upholding that oath at all costs becomes a deeply held religious belief. So, that, you know, just trying to set, I know it sounds all kind of zany and all over the place, because there's a lot going on up here with it, and I'm not running on a lot of sleep. As you guys have followed the channel know, I don't get a lot of that these days, so I'm not necessarily firing on all cylinders. But The essence here is that it got me thinking about the essence of sacred oaths. And then, of course, I go to the lore and I start looking at, well, okay, let's look at some examples. And there are a lot of examples of little things here and there. But then there was one big glaring one that, you know, always stands out. And it's the one that I go to when I think on these things, that illustrates how important sacred oaths were, how just absolutely binding heathens considered them during arch-heathen times. If you go back to the Icelandic sagas, which I lend a lot of credence to the Icelandic sagas as far as being factual in their layout. There's a lot of support for them, a lot of archaeological stuff that supports things playing out the way they did in the sagas. You know, of course, there's probably some stuff. They're less tainted than Snorri's work, but I'm not going to say they're like pure, but they seem to be fairly well done in a lot of entries anyway. Go back to the Icelandic sagas and you find the saga of Hrafnkell Freysgoði. And when you look at this particular saga, Hrafnkell, he is beloved of Frey. And he swears as a priest to Frey. And in his relationship with Frey, he swears a solemn vow. He swears a sacred oath to Frey that this horse that he has dedicated, that he will share ownership with Frey, Freymen, it depends on, is dedicated to Frey. It's dedicated to this god. And he swears it to this god that if anyone rides this horse without his permission, he will kill them. Okay? And of course, that's, you know, a standard, you know, this is sacred, this is sacrosanct. Do not cross this border, this barrier, and you don't have to deal with the consequences. And he's upfront about it, as you'll see in the story. Now, Hrafnkell himself is something of a so-and-so, to say the least. If you look at it, he's nice to some of his people. He's like nice to one group of people, but then he's a right git to another group of people. Ornery, he gets in duels, and he's got this thing where he absolutely refuses to pay weregild, which is where you pay the man price for having killed someone, even if it's in a duel or anything else. You know, as long as it's not murder, that enters it into a different category based on Icelandic law. But a killing, in general, usually had a price associated with a person depending on their rank and their position within society. And there were set numbers. This was all delineated in law. And he absolutely refused. He would not pay weregild. That's not something that he did. But Einar, this guy who's, you know, through some happenstances of poor luck and poor planning, and he got kind of done dirty by somebody, found out that he needed to work. And so it was the end of the season, and or it was late into the start of the season, and he was rambling along trying to find work and couldn't find work with anybody, and because all of the choice spots were filled up. So he goes to Hrafnkell, and he's like, hey, Hrafnkell, I need a job. And Hrafnkell's like, well, I've given all the good spots away already. I don't know really what I can use you for. Well, okay, I do have one spot, but it's not one that you're going to like. You know, all the good spots are already taken. He's like, well, you know, I'll do whatever. I don't care. As long as I work, I work. And so Hrafnkell puts him to work watching his sheep. And when he does this, he puts him out there and he gives him the rundown. Says, this Freymen is dedicated to Frey. Do not ride him. I will have to kill somebody if they ride this horse. He explains it. He's out there, clear as day. Lays it all out there. So Einar goes out, and Einar goes and is watching the sheep. Well, the sheep start to get away. He's having a hard time keeping things up. And he's got some horses out there, but none of the horses are staying put for him, except for Freymen. And he's like, well, obviously, if I ride this horse, you know, Hrafnkell's not going to know. So he jumps on this horse, and he rides down trying to, you know, wrangle up these sheep. And does a lot more than what he initially intended to do. And the horse gets all lathered. It's very evident this horse has been ridden. And then the horse ends up coming back home. Hrafnkell sees this, sees that the horse has been ridden, and knows that something's up. And he's pretty sure what's going down, gets verification from some of the other people in the farmstead. Long story short, he finds out that Einar rode the horses, even though Einar was doing this to complete the job that Hrafnkell set out for him to do, and that he would have likely lost the sheep had he not ridden the horse. He still violated that boundary that was set up and established. Well, Hrafnkell, having sworn this sacred oath, is now oath-bound to complete it. And so he does. And Hrafnkell feels horrible about this because he knows what he's done. This, of all the slayings that he's done, he doesn't feel good about it. And then the news of Einar's death gets back to Einar's father, Thorbjorn, and Thorbjorn comes and confronts Hrafnkell, and Hrafnkell offers him, even though Hrafnkell specifically states, I do not pay weregild, this is not something I do, but I will set you and your family up so that you don't have to worry about anything after this. I will outfit you, kit you, take care of you with dairy and food. I mean, he basically signs over a lot of care to this individual. It's a big, big sell. You can tell that he feels horrible about what he had to do, but he felt like he had to do it. And so father rejects it, and it goes on, and then this whole kind of feud thing comes out of it. And you can go and read the rest of the story to get the kind of completion of that, but we've gotten to the crux of the important part, and that is Hrafnkell swore this oath. He swore this oath that no one could ride this horse, and that if anyone did, he would kill them. And this is someone that he knew he didn't want to kill, and he felt bad about having to kill them, but he swore this sacred oath. And so, yeah, he had to do what he had to do because he was oathbound, because it was sworn to the gods. So it's an example of an instance wherein a sacred oath was, swearing it was something that was deeply heartfelt and started as a positive thing, but ended up going very, very south of Hrafnkell. And, of course, there's a lot of supposition that this particular saga was recorded as, you know, intending to make fun of heathens and their ridiculous oaths to their gods, etc., etc., etc. However, to those of us with a heathen mindset and thinking about these things, we look at it and say, well, what it is a cautionary tale. It's like, you know, because sacred oaths are so binding and that we must hold to them, one needs be careful what they oath. Be careful what you promise. Be careful what you swear to. And that's kind of the crux of what I wanted to get at with some of this. You know, because, you know, a sacred oath, when sworn to the gods, becomes a sacred pact between you and the deity. And what you swear becomes binding to your relationship with that deity. And violating that loses your standing with the deity. It damages your relationship with that deity. Depending on the severity of the oath and how egregious the breaking, it can really damage things. But in the same, an oath that is upheld and positively regarded, and even if it does impose some hardship on the individual, that hardship is seen as a sacrifice to the gods and therefore brings honor to them, because you are willingly taking on this hardship, you're willingly signing on for this inconvenience or this trouble in the name of the gods, and you are bearing it well. How you bear that also impacts on, you know, how much honor is brought to the gods. Because if you swear an oath to the gods that you won't do this one thing, and then you spend the next 20 years bitching about not being able to do this one thing because you're oath-bound, that brings no honor to the gods. If anything, that makes you, that's going to damage your relationship with the gods and goddesses. However, completing these oaths, upholding these oaths, and doing so because of the relationship that you have with the gods, and building that relationship through this, I mean, it becomes a very positive thing. It really reinforces that relationship this individual has with the particular god to whom they've sworn, or to the tribe of the gods as a whole. Now, I see the tribe, I'm a tribal heathen, that's how I think about things. I have a tribal mentality on things. And so I see the interaction of my tribe and the tribe of the gods as being those of tribes. And so when I swear an oath to the gods, I'm going to make damn sure whatever I swear is something that I can uphold, and something that I will, that will bring honor both to myself, as well as my hearth, my clan, and my tribe, and build our relationship as a tribe with the gods. At least with my hearth and the gods, but especially my tribe and the gods, especially with me being in a position of leadership within the tribe, I really have to be mindful of those things, because it is so important. I've seen a lot, especially within the neo-pagan community, where people will swear oaths to the gods, newbie neo-pagans, like baby heathens kind of thing, where they'll jump in, they'll want to swear oaths, and they'll want to be, you know, they won't slow down and think about it. You don't have to swear an oath to follow the gods. You don't. You don't have to swear some hold oath. You don't have to swear a dedication to the gods. You just follow the gods and do offerings to the gods. Build these relationships. You know, you don't have to enter into an oath pact with the gods in order to worship them, in order to be a heathen, as it were. That's something that comes from rites of initiations from other traditions, from other cultures, that they will superimpose upon heathenry. A lot of that comes from high magic sources and dedications and things like that, that don't really apply here. That's not the kind of relationship, not really the way that it works with heathenry. And as such, I see people make oaths that trip them up, or that they have to try and get around or out of or reword or reinterpret later on, or they just forget about them. That's what I see most often, is that, you know, it seems all cool and everything in the moment, and then they forget about it, and then their luck turns to crap. Yeah, it's going to do that. You know, that's cause and effect. You know, if you're going to make an oath, it needs to be, because you wouldn't swear to somebody that you're going to do something and then not do it. I mean, that's the whole point of an oath. When you enter into this formalized contract of a relationship, there's some weight to it there. And the idea behind an oath is that it is a promise with consequence. You know, there are clear consequences if this oath is not fulfilled. And so that's the same thing with the gods. The understanding here is that even if you swear to do something in the name of the gods, like you swear to Odin that you are going to go out and, you know, start a business or whatever, I don't know, but you're going to name it after Odin or whatever, you're not necessarily entering into a direct pact with him, but the idea is that you are spreading his name and you are bringing honor to him through your actions, and you want him to look favorably upon you for that, and so he blesses you with luck, right? Poor example, but you kind of get the idea. You wouldn't... There's the consequence that is inherent with this particular oathing relationship is that luck exchange with the gods. Kind of the crux of the religious element of heathenry as we enter into, like, bloat and things like that. So if you create sacred oaths and then don't uphold them, you end up damaging your relationship with the gods. You damage the luck that you will pull from that, and you damage your standing with the gods. Not only that, you damage the standing of your hearth and those to whom you are associated when you don't uphold those oaths. And it becomes a dire thing, a very heavy thing. Now, this is deep theologic stuff as far as, and in some cases, it could be argued to be pedantic, but I still find it to be an important avenue to think about, because as you go through and you build your tribes, you build your kindreds, you build your hearths, oaths can be a very good thing, but oaths are a very heavy thing and need to be treated appropriately in order to garner good results. They need to be well thought out. They need to be measured. They need to be something that is something you can complete, not just something that you can complete, but something that's within your power and within your control. A lot of people will oath to things that, well, not a lot of people, some people will oath to things that are outside of their control or are unrealistic in nature. You know, like to... For a guy to say that he will, like, never raise his fist in anger. Yeah, but there may come a point where you have to defend yourself or someone important to you, and you might be really mad at the time, and you may have to raise your fist in anger in order to protect those and yours from losing life. And it's just shades of gray. Shades of gray. So when building an oath structure, it's important to create an oath that is realistic. You know, it's like, I will, you know, to the best of my ability do this, but not leave things that are so, you don't want, like, great gaping loopholes, or it's not an oath, you know? But you also don't want to oath something that you're either going to forget or that is insurmountable or, you know, unobtainable. You want to oath something that is appropriate And that is something that is prescient. It's something that's important, and therefore you're not going to have to keep constantly reminding yourself, oh yeah, I swore to, you know, Freya that I was never going to eat red Skittles again. I mean, what? Why? There's no point to that. It seems a ridiculous oath, but I have seen other oaths that are just as ridiculous that people have sworn, and I was sitting there going, I'm not going to be a part of this. I'm not even going to sit in on your ritual because I'm not okay with this. This isn't cool. So the key thing here is to think about the importance of the oath, the value of what you're doing, and crafting it in such a way that it is meaningful. It is something that you can uphold and fulfill without putting yourself into too much of a bind so that, you know, you're crippling yourself and therefore building resentment based on the oath. You need to see honor in the completion of the oath and feel good about upholding the oath. Then it also feeds into that whole, this is a staunchly held religious belief at this point. If you swear that you're not going to do this, then it is your religious belief, at least based on my sense of points, it's been my religious belief that failing to uphold this oath would be a violation of my religious views. So anyway, I know that seems kind of random and out there. Not all of my videos are going to be on point and easy to digest. Hopefully, the next one will be a little bit more. This one's a little more abstract and out there, but still very much on my mind and very pointed. I was actually talking to my tribe this weekend, and I'm like, it's kind of like heathen paladin oaths, you know? Yeah. But anyway, that's the gist of this one. I apologize for the rambly nature of it. Hopefully next time I'll have had a little bit more sleep, and we'll be dealing with something a little less abstract. But for the most part, I'm also paying attention to customers coming in and out up front, so I need to go handle that. So thank you all. I appreciate the feedback. Please stay tuned. I will try and do better with future videos, but they can't all be gems. Hail to you all. Thank you. And may your hearth fires burn bright. Okay, let's see if we can pull this together real quick. I don't have a whole lot of time, so there's not going to be a whole lot of post-credit stuff. I need to get rocking and rolling, but that was cute. Blooper. Not entirely certain how that happened. But anyway. Maybe a little too high. Yeah, life's been rocking along. You know, same as every other time I report. I'm hoping to get a D&D session come along. It's probably going to be after the first of the year before I have any real updates for D&D, which is killing me because I really want to jump into this and finish up the mission that we were on. But I'll come back to that and talk some more geeky D&D stuff later for those that are interested in it. But yeah, fun and games. Other than that, life is just trucking along. It's been insane and I'm tired. That is just kind of my natural state of being at this time. So hope you guys understand if we kind of keep it short on the whole post-credit thing. I know I usually kind of ramble on for a while about stuff, but I think today's playtime is going to be a little shorter. I don't play for numbers on my statistics anyway, so I think it'll be fine. Anyway, rock on, guys. Let's go ahead and jump into today's subject, all right? We're live in three. Oh, and Cowboy Bebop. The anime is the only Cowboy Bebop, all right? I don't care what Netflix says with this new live-action crap. The anime is the only Cowboy Bebop. Well, Omega, but still. Yeah. So, 3, 2, 1. Let's jam.